When we share someone's story here on the Diaries, the episode might end, but their story doesn't. So many of the people we've talked to, they've gone on to do incredible things. They have epic adventures and make significant impacts in our community. Over on Diaries Plus, we're catching up with some of our former guests to see what they've been up to. I recently sat down with Connor Ryan, a Lakota professional skier from our Sacred Slopes episode, who's been knocking out groundbreaking projects ever since the episode aired. It's really incredible. We had a great discussion about the impacts he's made, what keeps his fire burning, and taking ski lessons as a pro skier. Here's a snippet of the conversation.
All the source of joy that I use to fill my cup to be out in the world doing positive things comes from my relationship to the outdoors. And so I really focused on like, wow, like there's so much power if I can give one person the relationship to the outdoors that I have through skiing. And maybe that will have as profound of an effect on them as it's had on me.
To listen to the full episode, use the link in the show notes to subscribe to Diaries Plus today. Yeah, you get more shows, but you also have a peace of mind of powering what's out there right now, keeping us moving forward, keeping this community together. So thank you for everyone who supported and everyone who's going to support. We appreciate it.
One, two, three.
Oh, I heard you. One more. Let's do it again. I heard, okay. Definitely heard other,
okay,
clapping.
Let's
that
try
time.
It. Ready?
One, two, three.
Come on, why was that so bad? Okay, one, two, three. Ah, that was
wild. That was the most epic pause ever on
okay.
Three, Cordelia.
Fitz, learn how to count. Right. Come on. Let's do it.
Jesus.
Wow. All right.
One more time. All right. How you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Pretty good.
Where are you guys at? Where are you at, Cordelia?
I am in my bedroom in Denver, just kind of hunkered down here.
Ashley, where are you at?
I am just across town in Seattle in just a home office, and my cat still laying here on the floor sunning herself. She looks like a beached whale.
Nice.
You?
I'm in the really high-powered executive suite, otherwise known as our trailer, parked out in front of our house. Yeah, it feels funny to be doing this with you guys, separate, not in the studio. Obviously, we are, you know, everyone's going through some crazy times. We're adjusting to not being all together. So we're not going to do our regular thing today. We had an episode already go, but it's been crazy. And I think that it's worth acknowledging it. You know, even though it's like so easy to just kind of do the regular thing for us right now, I felt like all of us in our hearts felt like we had to chat a little bit about what's happening. And we had to share because there's a lot of people in our community that are afraid. I'm afraid. And it seems like if we were going to do anything else and we're just going to tell like one of our regular stories, it would be like ignoring the giant elephant in the room right now. So we wanted to take this time. We'll be back with the regular thing next time. But right now we wanted to sit and chat a little bit.
Fitz, how are you feeling about everything?
I think probably like a lot of people, a lot of different feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's fear, it's stress, it's anxiety. I mean, we're being pushed as hard as we've ever been pushed in terms of like what's on our plate between homeschooling kids, and Tep was sick, so you know, can't have grandma come over, and mm-hmm. the business, and trying to just yeah, it definitely is crazy. And there's also there's moments of incredible calm.
Yeah, I like that word calm. How are you staying calm, Fitz?
There's a side of this that I recognize. I mean, this is truly an extraordinary situation, but there's sides of this that remind me of when we started this company back in 2008, that there's a feeling of being like, I've lived through this on a certain level, and not on the scale of it, but that there's like a side of it that's recognizable, and it actually kind of makes me happy because I think about it, and that was an incredible time in my life for me. So it's like, I guess it's like history, it's maybe not repeating itself, but it like has really strong familiarities to that last time, that there was this crazy sort of economic freefall and no one really knew what to do.
Can you tell us more about how you experienced that the last time?
Yeah. So like there's the boilerplate, and I know that there's like some people have heard this story about how I started the diaries. You know, I was trying to be a writer. It was really clear that I was not going to be able to ever support a family, pay rent on time with that profession. And I really, like, I gave up on that dream. And in the process, I decided as a last hurrah, I would record some of my favorite stories that I'd never been able to sell. And I took those stories and I started recording them into a closet, and I did it as a way to, you know, maybe have something on my resume, just as a way to keep myself busy, you know, because I didn't really have any work. And I did that, and, you know, there was that moment for me where I sent it out to 30 friends, said, I've done this thing, check it out. And it was like, you looked at the data, and, you know, because that's what you did back in the day if you had a blog or a podcast. It's like, you'd be like, oh, how many people looked at it? How many people saw it? And I sent it to 30 friends, and then it was like 300 people saw it. And the next day it was like 3,000 people saw it. And it, you know, it was really clear in that moment that my life had kind of changed. And so that right there is like the pretty standard quick story I tell about that. But there's something deeper about that period of time, is that it sounds like that all happened in a course of weeks. And the truth of it is, like, this was a battle to do this, to be able to sit here and be in separate rooms sharing mics with you two. It was a giant struggle. And it's been one of the most joyous and fun struggles of my entire life. And I feel so incredible to do it. And I think I look back to that moment where all of a sudden I realized that 3,000 people had listened to those first few shows. And that was the last time I actually was isolated like I am right now. There were periods of time, Becca was still working for the university, so she'd be gone for 3 months of time on these research projects. And all of a sudden I had the Dirtbag Diaries, and all of a sudden, like, even though I had something. And so it was this magical moment in my life where I envisioned a different version of it, and I just worked. Like, I had time. I had time and I had space. And I just sat inside my house and I worked from 8:30 to 10 o'clock at night. And that sounds horrible, but it wasn't at all. You know, like, it wasn't that way. And it would literally be like, Becca would kind of call and be like, oh, I haven't left the house in 7 days. I mean, I would have gone and got groceries or taken a quick run or something like that. But realistically, it would be like the car would be parked, and it looked very similar, minus the two kids, to how it is right now. And that moment of being able to have time and have space to pour your heart into something that felt right to you, and it wasn't even really about money or anything like that. It was just what was inside of you and what you believed. Coolest moment, you know? Coolest moment. It's not to say, like, I'm not sitting here blindly being optimistic. You know, I think last week I'm, you know, supposed to be with my granddad, who's going through the end of his life after having inoperable cancer. And I'm supposed to be there with him. And his home has been closed to visitors. And none of us have a window into his world right now. And so I feel the pain and I feel the fear. Like, all of us should just start, we should probably just all say it right now. Just like a huge shout out to all the people working on the front lines right now in healthcare, out, you know, out there taking care of people like my grandfather. Just like a huge, huge shout out to those people and how much they're putting out on the line. Cordelia, do you remember 9/11? Do you remember those days after 9/11? I don't know how old you would have been.
Yeah, I was pretty little. I was 7. But I do remember that time. I do remember that day really vividly. Why do you ask about that?
I think that was another moment. I think it's a little bit different. But just that uncertainty of being like, what's going to happen next? Like, I just was curious, like, whether, you know, you guys remember that too, because this does happen, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's actually these incredible points where it kind of gives you a little bit of a chance to say what matters, right? It provides some clarity too.
Well, and right, and I think one of the remarkable parts about what's going on today for me is this juxtaposition of truths in the way that we're all kind of mandated to be isolated and quarantined and alone and separated in a lot of ways. But at the same time, it feels like I know that most every other human on the face of the planet is feeling similar things that I'm feeling right now, that kind of fear, the anxiety, the unknown, the trepidation of what's about to come next. And I think the world, and especially our country, has felt so divided and polarized in the last many years of my life that it's kind of, I don't know a time where I have felt like the entire human race is actually plugged into the same channel, watching the same news, listening to the same things, reading the same things, worrying about the same things. And that, at least for me, I have never experienced before.
Yeah. I'm not sure if anyone has, honestly, when you think about, like, I think countries go through that, like, shared experience, but, like, globally, to have something that not only that's going on globally, but we have the internet now, and that we can actually connect with each other, and it just amplifies that shared experience, whether it's, like, the joking memes that people have created, or more of these, like, just really powerful images and stories, you know, from on the ground in other countries who are having a very similar experience. So it does feel like it's maybe like the first time this has happened, at least in the way that we're experiencing it right now.
It is different. You know, I don't mean to say like, oh, this, I've lived through this. It's no reason to be worried. You know, I think every emotion is valid. It is different. I think it's also always just in these situations is like, what are we also being given, right? What do we do with this time? Because that's what history is about to kind of give a lot of us right now, is some time with our families, some time indoors, time with our closest people, and it's going to ask us. And I hope that like all you all listening right now, I know this is a different kind of Dirtbag Diaries today, but I hope that you think about how you're going to use this time. And I say that because this presents an incredible level of clarity, and you know, like. Recently, I was like in some gear shop somewhere, and there are these mugs, and they were like, F it, let's go climbing, F it, let's go skiing. And I totally appreciate that sentiment. That's great. I love it. But that's not really an option right now, right? So what are we going to do with this time, right? And are you going to sit there and just stress out about it? Are you going to refresh the news feed 3,000 times? Are you going to watch every possible show on Netflix? And maybe, and no judgment if you choose to do that. That's totally fine. But I can't. I'm going to go insane. And so for me, I'm going to take this moment and I'm going to do my best to create, because that's what I do. And that's what I hope a lot of people out there can take this moment to do too, is that they figure out what they want to do and go do it. And that in this moment where there's this incredible amount of input, like there's things bombarding you, boom, 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 it's all happening, right? There's a moment where some people can stop and they can begin to create output.
Well, I know things are a little different in your life than they were 12 years ago, Fitz. You know, you have two kids and a business. So how have you and Becca been designing your life at home to still make space for that creativity?
We get up early. Maybe someone sneaks out for like just a local run around the neighborhood right now. Fortunately, we don't have to like be fully inside all the time. And then we get to it. And every morning right now, it's March and the birds are returning. And so we start the day and Tep goes out with binoculars. And Becca, who's like past life was a scientist working with birds, with migratory songbirds. The boys are out there and they're learning to identify birds. And that's something she's always wanted to do. She's always wanted to kind of teach them about that. And now we have this opportunity right now where the weather's good. We have nowhere to be. And that's what we're doing. So Tep's wearing around her binoculars. And they're just realizes like we built that all out. There's the math, you know, yeah, we're doing math every day. Yeah, we're doing reading. But there's also the reality of like, there's so many things that we don't get to in life that we value, you know? And the other day it was just like, I don't know, they needed something to do in the backyard. And, you know, we've been backpacking at least once a year. And it's always just sort of like cluster and it's great. And dad gets all frazzled and, you know, yada, yada. But so I had them set up the tent twice. And that was 3 hours.
Nice.
And it was like that moment of being like, well, you know, it's like.
3 hours.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, it didn't take them 3 hours to set it up. It was just like 3 hours of fun, okay. Though. You know, it was like then the stuffed animals okay, got great. Brought out to the tent and it was all good. So yeah, we've basically like mapped out our life to figure out how to do the things, get to the things that maybe we don't regularly get to just because there's so many options, right? And it's coming at a huge cost. Like I really, really want to be cognizant of that, and I feel that, and it's coming at a huge cost. But I am going to be able to recognize the good bits of it, you know, and not just the complete utter shittiness of the situation, because it's like we can create good out of it, you know. Things like this give us the chance to be the person we want to be. And I'm going to take it.
How do you want your boys to remember this time, Fitz?
I just want my boys to remember that I was present. That I was able to laugh and to smile and to look them in the eye and participate in their world, not just in the world that's sort of happening and unfolding on our screens. I don't know how good of a job I'm doing of that right now, but I'm trying. And I want them to see me create because that's who I am. And I just hope my kids know me. That's my hope, is that I get to know them, that I get to pay attention to them, and then they also get to see me, because a lot of times our worlds are divided, you know, like it's pretty compartmentalized. And Tep goes into the office a lot, but you know, he's got his thing going on, and it's like, this is kind of a rare moment where we get to live, each trying to do our own thing, whether that's math or whether that's, you know, running a company. It's like, I hope they get to know that I was paying attention.
And I'm wondering, Fitz, just hearing you talk about those first handful of people that you sent your stories to so many years ago and that they passed it along to then 300 people and then 3,000 people, and knowing that those people have stuck with you over the years and continue to listen to your stories, and that you've developed this really vast and beautiful community over the years, I'm just wondering if you have anything you want to say to them through this time.
There is a different version of your world out there, and it's like up to each of us to kind of help each other make it. And that is what I'd say. And it's like, it's one, it's like on a nuts and bolts level right now of just being like, it's not like, just to be frank, I'm sorry, it's not time to be out there just doing life as normal right now. There's my grandfather. Like, I hope he makes it through this. And there's a lot of other people that are vulnerable that I hope stay healthy. You know, so one, there's that side of it. There's like, that ability is like, it's not the time to go on a climbing trip right now. But on a deeper level, I hope that our community sits down and thinks about it. Maybe there's people out there that are thinking about like, how do I get people in my community to go out and vote? And this is a time to go work on that, right? Like this is a time to start organizing. Or if there's something that you've always been like, I want to learn how to paint, start painting. Because what the hell else are you doing with your time? And maybe it's a version where it's just like, you just help your neighbor, right? That's the person you've always envisioned as being the one who's helpful. And there's like, there's just no better time than to go to the person that lives three doors down who's elderly and say like, hey, do you want me to go run to the grocery store for you? And you can pay me back. Like, that is this moment. And so like, consider that this ability to think about the person you want to be and the world you want to inhabit and like, make that magic. Turn that thinking into something real and just do it. It is the time to create and not just consume. This is it, right now. Because that was the thing that I feel so lucky about the last time that I was stuck inside a house for 8 straight days, is that I saw this little rope coming out of the darkness and I grabbed a hold of it and I worked so hard to make it real, and it became real. And I'm lucky and I'm privileged, I'll say that, like all that. But that's out there for some of us right now. And I hope you just take a moment and look around and think about it. Think about what that means for you and go do that. That's all I can ask. Like that's what I would hope or ask of this community. Like the one thing I think that I've kept kind of quiet is that over the last year and a half, I've learned how to play the piano. Like I always wanted to do that in my life. And a year and a half ago, I was like, well, I'm not getting any younger. And so I've been learning how to play the piano, and it's like this thing. I go in, instead of like being like, I'm going to the climbing gym right now, I like go sit down and I go play piano for a half an hour. And it's the coolest thing. And so I just look.
That makes me so happy.
Me too. I just like imagine kind of climber hands.
Well, and I want to say, Fitz, can I tell about your song?
Oh yeah, totally.
So last week we had a chat. Oh no, it was at the beginning of this week.
It's every day is like feels like 2 weeks ago.
So at the beginning of this week we had a team chat on FaceTime, which was really nice. But I think we were all just, you know, checking in on each other and talking about how we were feeling, and also just talking about doing a different kind of episode where we talk about these things as a community. And the next day I got a text message from Fitz, and he had sent me a video of him playing a song, and I was coming back from a trail run. I was in my car and I got that message, and I pulled over on the side of the road and opened it and listened to it. And it was just the most endearing and hilarious video where Wiley, his small child, was taping him. And
okay, make sure you don't move my hands, right? Okay.
What'd you say?
Make sure you show my hands, right?
Okay. Just your hands?
Yeah, just my hands.
Can I show your arms? Because I might have to show them.
The song was short, but it just kind of got me choked up just to know that had just poured out of your heart, Fitz. And at this time, like it just felt like such an untraditional time for us, where a normal week in the office, like we wouldn't necessarily be sending songs back and forth on our text stream. It's more like, can you call me in 15? And do you have edits for this? And, you know, it was really special to get that. And it inspired me. I came right home and opened the video again and watched it enough times that I could figure out how to play it. And I wrote a bit more and developed it into a song. And it just gave me a lot of faith that we will get through this together, even if we're all stuck in our bedrooms for the next couple of weeks.
That is so damn cool, Cordelia. Thank you. Yay for creativity.
So, like we said earlier, big shout out to all the people on the front lines of this thing. Everyone from the folks at the ERs, to the caregivers, firefighters, to teachers figuring out how to teach their kids even though they can't see them. Thank you. You're doing so much for all of us. We appreciate it. And for the rest of us, as we carry out this adventure in the great indoors, we are carrying on this conversation over at Instagram at dirtbag_diaries. Please join us. We've got some Instagram lives, some stories, cool stuff. Share what's going on in your world. We'd love to see it. Yay for creating. Let's keep this going. We also have created a list on our website for ways that you can help out, because there are some ways. Some of them are big, some of them are small. It's all the way from giving blood to donating to food to school drives. Check it out over at dirtbagdiaries.com. Music today from Cordelia Zars with a little help from me. Jacob Bain and Anise Cotto composed our theme song. Thanks to Ashley and Cordelia for sharing your thoughts. I'm Fitz. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Thanks.
Support for the diaries comes from Ketone IQ. As I've been getting more and more into longer runs and bike rides, I found myself fighting with my mind. As the miles extend, I feel like my reactions get slower and I make more mistakes, like tripping or falling, or just kind of feeling slightly out of sync descending on the bike. On those big days, I've been using Ketone IQ to help my brain keep fueled and sharp. I want to have fun, not bonk. Here's the science. Ketones already exist in your body. When you push up against your boundaries, your body begins to convert stored fat into ketones, which your brain prefers consuming. With Ketone IQ, I feed my brain so my muscles can use the glucose I get from whatever else I eat on the trail. Riders of the Tour de France have been taking the same approach. I am definitely not as fast, but I can apply the same thinking. Give it a try. You save 30% off your first subscription order at ketone.com/dirtbagdiaries. Once again, that's ketone.com/dirtbagdiaries. The link is in the show notes. Please check it out.